Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Here We Sew Again, the podcast where three sewers from different backgrounds discuss all things sewing. I'm Meg Healy.
I'm Amanda Carestio.
And I'm Kate Zeinard. Today on the podcast, we're talking about embroidery by machine or by hand. Then we'll each share some sew inspo. But before we jump in, how is everybody doing?
Doing okay.
Mm-hmm. Doing good. Got back from a fun week in New York, a little so fun. Yeah,
I loved your pictures.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it was really fun. I still I want to make like a little video about my trip. It was really fun. It was so great that Julian could come with me, and we drove down. It was like an 8-hour drive, but it was fun, like a little road trip, and it was so nice to be in New York and like not have to even think about, should I buy an extra yard? Like, put it in the car.
Yeah. Did you get a lot of fabric?
I didn't actually get a ton of fabric. I did. I went to Mood, but I didn't get anything there. But I got everything at Spandex House, which was my favorite.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
I got this. Oh my gosh. Where is it? But it's this like spandex with little lime green mushrooms all over it. I know, Amanda, you got me into mushrooms, and it's like a mauvey, like burgundy purple background with like mushrooms. Oh my gosh. I think I want to make like a bathing suit with it and leggings. Mm-hmm. I got like 3 yards of it because like, you know, because I could, because I could have all the space I wanted. And
that's awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah. That sounds adorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I got a bunch of power meshes because I'm going to make some, like, bralettes and underwear because my underwear needs are just changed.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine why.
Like, a year ago, I'm like, I only wear thongs, and now I'm like, I had to mid-trip go to Target to get more. I was like, I can't.
Fit. Yeah.
Even the underwear that I pack, it's like I just like popped or something. No. Oh. So now I'm in like full under, like it's, yeah. So, but I feel like it's going to be hard to go back now.
Yeah.
So, but it was really fun. And the launch event that I went to was so fun. So we can finally talk about it now, but it's this like Ditto sewing projector. It's a with Singer Sewing and Joanne Fabric. So I actually got invited to be the panel moderator for their influencer panel at the launch event. So I talked with Tabitha Sewer, So Anastasia, and Handmade by Carly about kind of, they had been working with the projector for a while now. So we talked about that and their sewing journeys. We were kind of like, the room was like filled with kind of press people, like mm-hmm. not sewing people. So we were kind of telling them about the sewing, like what the sewing community is about. It was so fun. And I got to meet just like a bunch of amazing people. I got to meet that So Monica, she was doing a live and just so like, yeah. And I met a listener to the pod, which was amazing too.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Turned around and be like, is that Mew Meg Healy? I was like, yeah. She's like, I'm listening to the podcast.
That is so funny. So she recognized your voice?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, is the video of your panel up on, is on YouTube?
Not yet. It will not be yet? Though. Okay. Hopefully soon. It will be soon.
I wanna see that.
Yeah, it was a really great, really great talk, for sure. Yeah, and it was just so fun to like dress up, and Julian came to the event too. He was talking with people and it was a really great time, like a really good week. And yeah, but it's good to be back. It was not the same like when I lived there. You know, I would walk everywhere, but I got like, you know, 3 or 4 blocks. We took a lot more Ubers this time. I'm like, yeah. You know, you just can't. I just couldn't walk as far. And even mid-event, I had to like go back to the hotel to change my shoes and like get a slice of pizza.
An emergency slice. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. But it was super fun.
That sounds amazing. I feel like you'll have so many good memories from that. And I also think that that's like the last fun 8-hour car ride you'll have for a while. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I know. Oh my gosh.
It happens fast.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about you, Kate? What have you been up to?
Oh, I've been making a lot of soap, honestly. It's kind of where I've been.
Yay.
I've been focusing, getting ready for the spring markets, if I can get into any of them. So right now, my room smells like a fragrance called White Tea and Ginger, which is very spa-y.
That sounds good.
That sounds amazing.
It is so good. I think we might have to start doing a Kate's smell check-in on every episode.
Yeah.
Just to see what I'm smelling today. But yeah, it's so good. It's really pretty. I'm very pleased with it and hope it'll be a good seller. So,
just
yeah.
The sound of it. Like I can smell it just
Oh, it's so good. I love it. I'm going to call it probably spa day.
Yeah, probably because being pregnant, I like ginger is one of like there's a few teas that you can drink and ginger is one of them. And I love ginger and ginger ale is like my favorite and ginger being a nausea. And so I'm like all about ginger right now. So that sounds like a soap that I could even tolerate now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's I love so that. Good. Yeah. All right, shall we get started with our official stuff?
Let's do.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I'm on So What's New. It's been wow, we have a lot. Oh, I'm excited.
Got some good ones.
Yes, we do.
Goodies for you. Looks like you each have a couple, except for me, I have one. But Kate, why don't you kick us off with what you've been seeing.
All right. Well, I got a couple of emails from some various places whose lists I'm on, and I love them. So first of all, we have the Eira, that's EIRA, tote from Bagstock Designs. I have this one of their bags that I just love, and then this one showed up, and I'm like, this is so great. It's got, I'm trying to think of how to actually describe it. It's got a cork or a pleather something panel, but instead of being even like it usually is, it's just on one side, and then it's got the fabric panel. And it's got the straps are backed with the same fabric. They're made with fabric and then backed with the same vinyl. It's got a vinyl strip on the outside pocket zipper. It's asymmetrical slightly. So it kind of fits into that trend we were talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a clothing trend, but still. But I just think it's so unique and it's so cute. And I love it. So the Ira Tote from Bagstock Designs. And then
yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really neat, right? Mm-hmm. And then I also have from Sally Tomato, who, by the way, is the sweetest person in the world, just mm-hmm. so everybody knows. She released the Louise. It's a crossbody clutch. So it's clutchable or crossbody wearable. It's a cute little long pouch with fringe detail. It's kind of 20s inspired. Mm-hmm. Super cute. Uses some hardware. It's got a little clasped top. But yeah, it's just I love the 20s. I love that whole look and I love fringe. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, this is the cutest little bag that I would probably never use, but still I might have to make one.
Well, it looks like perfect for like that phone. You see those purses yes. that just like perfectly fit a phone. This is just that, but it has like that vintage nod to it. This is adorable.
Yes. Isn't it cute?
So
cute.
Oh,
I feel like it could almost go like a little Western too.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Because of the fringe, you know, and I'm kind of feeling that. Like I've been thinking about, I need to do some maintenance on my cowboy boots, but like I'm thinking about breaking those out again. Like I feel like, I don't know, I'm seeing some like Western style trends.
Yeah, I think it could be things. I think it could be really easy, you know, add some studs, pick your fabric right, mm-hmm. do the thick fringe, and yeah, I think it could easily mm-hmm. be Western.
I love it.
Yeah, or I know we're talking about it like this is a perfect pattern for this episode. Embroidery. Yes. Like, what a perfect showcase for an embroidery right. design this bag would be.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, so cute.
So, yeah. That's what I found for y'all this week. Well, 2 weeks ago I found them, but
I'm holding on to them. Well, I was on Instagram, and rarely I find a pattern that I really like from someone I follow. It's usually from the pattern designer release itself. I usually rarely see mm-hmm. a make of it and then like reverse research and be like, oh my gosh, I hope they made this and it's not store, and where can I get this pattern? But it's the Fiber Mood, the Harper top. And it just is so striking. I first saw this Mayel Makings. It's at Mayel Makings on Instagram. And they made this like striped version. And like it was just so striking. And then I looked to see that it was a Fiber Mood pattern. I went to the pattern and I just like loved this top. How it gathers. It's just this like long rectangle panel, and if you use like stiffer fabric it'll stand up, and I just really loved it.
That yeah, really I love it cool. too. Oh, it's like kind of structural and like I don't know, I feel like it's, but it also looks really, it's like unique but wearable. I love it. I think it's really I saw that one and it definitely caught my eye.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is so striking.
I know. Like
you could have all kinds of fun too with like different color fabrics.
Oh, or
like,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. you could do a lot with it.
And it looks like you can use it for a knit or a woven. Like when you're looking on even on the Fiber Mood website, you can see kind of people making it. And I believe some look like knits. I could be wrong though, but I'm sure you could make it in a knit.
I can't see why not. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I just like you always you think like how many things can you do with the top? And I saw this, I'm like exactly. It's so simple but so chic. It's so chic. Like
yes. different
a crisp white like cotton. Mm-hmm. Like how cute would that be as like a white blouse too? Mm-hmm. Anyway, mm-hmm. so I just fell in love with this top. So that's kind of my my standout pattern for this week that I found.
Yes. Nice. Thank you for introducing us to that. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I had two on my list. The first was the Ramona Noon dress by Spaghetti Western Sewing. And this dress has been out for a little bit because I think it was released as part of it was a magazine pattern, and then the designer released it as a standalone. There's a top version as well as multiple dress and sleeve options, but it's all about this amazing yoke. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's Western or if it's like just kind of
it's West
vintage or yeah. vintage looking. It's kind of, you know, there's a fine line there, but I've seen a lot of versions in all different kinds of fabric, and every single time it's just so friggin' cute. I love it.
Interesting. Yeah, it's got this this big gathered yoke into a high collar.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
There's almost something kind of like maybe a little Victorian.
I was just thinking, there's something also historical about this that's ringing a bell for me. Yeah, Victorian, totally. It's cute.
I love it.
Definitely.
And the last one for me was the BFF bag pattern. And this is by Lonnie at Having So Much Fun. And I don't know, this might be her first pattern. I might be wrong about that, but this is a new fanny pack pattern, and there are a good number of fanny pack patterns out there, but this one is different, and it has a lot of like nice high-end features, including this outer button pocket that I think she added for, it's like where you, a perfect spot for your phone. Like, it's not totally put away, but it's secure, but you can get to it quickly. And there's just a lot of like nice high-end details that make it interesting and unique. So that one was on my list as well. Also, Lonnie is a pretty great person, so I'd love to support her and her bag making and her pattern making ventures.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really cute.
Yeah. Isn't it cute?
Yeah, I like all the stuff going on the inside too.
Exactly.
It's like just the bound edges give it a nice like high-end touch and it's really cute,
and it's got that nice boxy shape that's kind of not traditional fanny packy sort of
I love it. So cute. The names of like blogs and new sewing pattern companies that I hear of are just like cease to like just amaze me, like spaghetti western patterns. I just like
She's one of my favorites. I can't remember her first name. I feel terrible. But she's an amazing designer and sewist, and is just always putting great fabrics together in fun and like fresh ways. But she's been on my radar for a little bit now. Mm-hmm. I love her style.
Oh, yeah. And then we also obviously love a Having So Much Fun pun.
Yeah, I mean anything with fun.
Yeah. Wow. We're pun fans over here.
Yeah. Three bag patterns in one.
Yeah.
I know.
That was weird.
Maybe the universe is telling me something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. I need another bag pattern on the list. Because we just had our like first pre-admit hospital appointment, and they like gave us the list. They're like, you should really pack your hospital bag. And I was like, I need a bag.
Yeah, you do.
And I need a little bag because baby needs a bag and I need a bag. I know, like last week I have the grand like that's gonna be mine, and I think I'm gonna make a little one too. I just haven't sewn it yet, but anyways,
bags, you better get on it.
I know. I know. Wow. Great patterns.
Definitely great patterns. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. I love that. So let's take a quick break and then we'll come back for our main segment.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome back. So embroidery is a great way to add personal flair to your projects, whether garments, bags, or home decor. It can also be meditative and a great way to slow down your sewing practice when it's done by hand. So let's do a deep dive into embroidery and what it can add to your sewing. Let's start with, do you embroider? And if so, by hand or machine, and how much? Meg, why don't you start us off?
Yes, I definitely embroider. Ever since I got my first embroidery machine, I couldn't stop. And also being the editor of Creative Machine Embroidery magazine now.
Oh, yes.
I definitely, that helps me embroider. And I really only do machine embroidery. I don't know if cross stitch can't, like, it, I don't know, but I don't
I
do
cross
any.
Stitch.
You do?
I you do. Don't? I
you
do.
Yeah. Okay, so I do cross stitch once a year.
One cross per year.
Yeah. One thing for a year. But definitely all by machine. And I do like a project at least every month, like a full on embroidery project at least once a month. So pretty nice. Often. Yeah, pretty often that machine's going, because one of my favorite things about machine embroidery is you can do two things at once. You can set mm-hmm. it, and then you can do something else while the machine, like, does a lot
its
of
thing.
Work.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part.
Awesome. How about you, Amanda?
You know, I did a lot of machine embroidery when I was working for the magazine as well, mm-hmm. making projects and whatnot, but I don't have one at home. So I haven't been doing it as much. I used to do a lot of embroidery, actually. I think when I was doing more kind of crafty projects and more like wall hangings and mini quilts, I did a lot more embroidery, because what I'd like to do is build the mini quilt and then go in and add some like hand stitching to kind mm-hmm. of just like build in that additional layer. Mm. I've done some projects like with my daughter, because I do feel like hand embroidery is a nice thing to do with kids. But I don't know, I haven't done it as much recently, but I do kind of miss it, because I love that it is more portable. And, you know, I imagine as my life gets more complicated and kids get older and have more events,
yep.
that might be a nice thing to have with me while I'm waiting, you know, for them to get done, waiting in the car line for school pickup. I could really be doing productive things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like I said, I count cross-stitch as embroidery. I mean, it's thread in and out of a...
Yeah.
In and out of fabric, and it's decorative, and I love to cross stitch. I've been doing it for quite a while, and it's one of my favorite things to do when I sit and watch TV. I just like to sit there and cross stitch, and it's amazing how, you know, you can look back on what you did and be like, oh wow, I did a lot today. Mm-hmm. Just because you're not really paying attention, you're more paying attention to what you're watching. I have occasionally done a little bit of non-cross-stitch hand embroidery. I don't do it as much because whenever I start doing it, I usually just do some little practice thing, and then I get frustrated very quickly because I'm not instinctively great at it. And at this point, cross-stitch is so second nature to me that I get annoyed when mm-hmm. it's not, you know, it's not perfect. And so I kind of haven't done extensive amount of non-cross-stitch hand embroidery. I do have a cute little pincushion kit that I got that I finished the embroidery for, and I just need to, you know, sew it together and stuff it. And that's been waiting on me for all of, you know, 5 years at this point. So we'll see if I can pull that off at some point. Yeah, And then, of course, machine embroidery. I also worked on creative machine embroidery. So, yes, I also machine embroider. And I do have my own machine here at home that I inherited from the company. I bought it from the company that owned it, that lent it to our company. And so I got a really good price on it. So I've got a nice high-end machine here that I embroider on. Usually when I'm doing projects for the magazine, actually, I don't do as much embroidery as I'd like to do. I did a project for my brother-in-law the other month back in December. I embroidered shirts for his vacation he was taking with the other side of the family. So they all had a cute little thing on the breast pocket, but it wasn't a pocket. It was just on the breast area. I don't know why I said that. So yeah, I do quite a bit of embroidery. And now I suddenly want to do more. Shocking.
Well, you're really good at it. Like you do really good machine embroidery, like knowing.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're,
I agree.
Yeah. Your projects are always like so well made.
Perfect.
And so perfect.
Oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of them are perfect. So how long have you guys been embroidering? When did you learn?
Yeah, Amanda and I are like both thinking, year is it even now?
I shouldn't have written that question because nobody knows what year it is.
No.
You know, I don't think I had done any machine embroidery when I started with the magazine. But really, back in like 2015, 2016, I kind of did my first projects on a machine. So I think that was probably... like maybe that's like only there is a nice like timeline to that because it coincided with me starting with the magazine. But I was thinking about hand embroidery, and I think that a real influence for me was when I was working on craft books before I worked on the magazines. I did a lot of work with an artist named Amy Ray, and she has all of the doodle stitching books.
Oh.
They're really popular. I can't remember when her first one came out, but they were so well received because they were always like beautiful and cute, but still approachable. Like they weren't too intricate, so you could actually pick up the book, use the templates, and create something that looked like it did in the book. And I think that actually kind of spurred my interest early on.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one of those doodle like embroidery books. I haven't looked into it, but I'm probably going to get back into like that sort of thing on, you know, on mat leave, like being not just like completely isolated in my sewing studio. I'm probably going to have to bring some crafts.
Yeah.
out.
Yeah.
So
she'll be sitting a lot. It'll be perfect.
Yes. Yes. I know. I think I started embroidering around the same time. I don't think I did any hand embroidery before that. Like, I don't even think I have ever done something like hand embroidered. Like, even now, I can't even think of anything unless it's like mending a hole, but like nothing art like. You know, intentional,
decorative.
Mm-hmm. That's the word I'm looking for. But it was around 2015. I remember we were, and I was more like dedicated to the Berta Style brand. And on that website, we did this like runway to reality lookbook with Brother, and they sent me an embroidery machine to use for that, kind of that book. And it was my first one. And it was just like, I just tried it, and it was just so much fun to then play. Like, it was like true magic. I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like it just kind of started from there. So around 2015, I think I started machine embroidering for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Machine embroidery for me was also around 2016 when I started at Creative Machine Embroidery and got my, you know, quick lesson on how to do it. And I was so fascinated. And I was also assigned to work on the basics column for that for that. And what I actually did most of the time was go back and pull out older older articles and kind of revamp them. And so I spent a lot of time learning all of these little details and tips and tricks and all of the beginner stuff for the embroidery. And then I, you know, put that into practice and kind of have gained a reputation for being a pretty good embroiderer. At least you guys believe it. I don't know. But for cross stitch, I remember this very distinctly. I started when I was 10. My dad had surgery, and I can remember taking my brand new cross stitch project in to his hospital room while he was recovering, and sitting there cross stitching. So I've been doing that for many, many years, and might be some of the reason I don't object to any sort of hand sewing, because when you've been doing something like that for so long, you know, I had to learn how to do the more precise sewing with the stitches without the guides of the little holes in the fabric. But, you know, my hand-eye coordination for needle and thread are pretty up there. So,
So cool how you can, like, look back and then think of, like, oh, yeah, I wonder what, like, that's how that, you know, my for hand sewing or something just kind of more clicked or something.
Yeah.
It's so cool when, like,
it
like
just occurred to me right now.
Together. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, me too. So what's your favorite embroidery method or technique or any of that sort of thing? There are really cool things you can do with machine embroidery. And I'd like to know what you guys love to do.
Well, I really do love machine embroidery. I think that there's a part of me that feels like it's too easy, you know, like it's like kind of cheating. And I feel like that is inspiring as well as like just, you know, just part of it. I also think like right now where I'm at with my like thinking about embroidery on garments, I feel like there was a period like a decade ago when I was really into like embroidered clothing and like kind of like folky floral. And now I feel like I've swung in the opposite where I'm just like things very plain.
Yes.
Which is not very surprising at all. I do feel like with machine embroidery, like I got okay. I was decent at it, and I did a pretty good range of fabrics from faux suede to really stretchy French terry, wool. I mean, I did a lot of different substrates, but I always felt like there's just something so machine and computery about it that like sometimes, you know how sometimes like the buttonhole gods are not with you?
Yes.
Or the serger god is just not with you and you have to walk away. I feel like sometimes that happened for me with machine embroidery, like just kept breaking thread stepped away and came back and it had broken the thread and kept going. And I had to go and had to do a lot of troubleshooting. And so I think that, I feel like it's like kind of the luck of the draw with me in projects. And I never kind of got to a point where it gelled. Or maybe I was just like making things for the magazine, like, to last minute and I had to power through and make the thing because the photo shoot was tomorrow, which probably didn't help my stress level. But
no.
I do feel like probably like at a certain level, certain machines are finicky, more finicky than others. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I can't remember what the question was though.
It was your favorite embroidery method or technique.
That was my whole spiel. So, but I do love it. I do also, I love hand embroidery. I think I like by hand more.
Yeah.
Because I like it. I like its imperfection and the fact that it is like very handmade and like you can see your hands in it and your perspective. And I don't know. I kind of just like that. I like that approach.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I love watching hand embroidery, like, videos. They can be very, yes, like, soothing to watch. And every time I watch them, I go, oh, that's not that hard. I could do that. But then it's, I don't know, I just never do it. Maybe I'll pick it up. But, yeah, no, I love machine embroidery. But I totally know what you mean. Like, there are just... sometimes it's just like Mercury's in retrograde and your machine, yes, is like
not gonna do it for
not
you.
Not having it that day. No. Like, and it's usually for me as well. Like, I need to get this in the mail tomorrow to make it in time for the photo shoot. And it's like threads are breaking and yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. but I don't know. I just don't know why they haven't invented an embroidery machine that can hold like a full spool of thread in the bobbin. Like, it's just like a bobbin. Like, some of, yes, these designs, which I love, like, they can turn out so beautifully. They're like, they take 6 hours. You look and you're like, wait, what? That's a 6 hour stitch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I need to like probably change the bobbin. Like, what? Like, I don't know.
A bunch of times.
12 times, maybe, yeah, probably more. So, but I guess that always keeps me like lurking by, because I can't sometimes I've, you know, been away from it and then you hear it stop. You're like, uh-oh, and then you, mm-hmm, go check on it. But what I've been really into lately is like really all the tech that like machine, mm-hmm, like it's even evolved so much. Like literally just before this today, I'm working on filming a new season of Style Revive about like kind of nursery stuff and baby stuff. And I wanted to try some like unique, like embroidered art. So I turned one of my ultrasounds into an embroidery design.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah. I took a photo of my ultrasound. And then I like went into the digital software and then I kind of made it like I took away the background. So on the black fabric was the background and stuff. And it like, I don't know. I was like, this is so cool that I'm going to like frame it. So I don't know. Or maybe stitch it into like keepsake baby quilt. But I was like, it's magic what you can create with it.
Yes.
And there's just like some really cool tech stuff that you can do. But... also, yeah, my mind got open to, through like working the, I would always like just flat embroider stuff, but through working more with the magazine, like the in the hoop designs and projects are so cool, mm-hmm, because you don't have to embroider something and then sew something. It's like you have this like product that's like professional, like you could see in a store, and it's so cool. Like, I've been really getting into in the hoop stuff, and I think it's just so fascinating. Yeah.
I agree, in the hoop stuff is fascinating. Yeah. Which probably does not surprise you, because I design a bunch of the stuff that,
exactly,
goes in the magazine.
Go to in the hoop.
Yes, I am. But it's I find myself, this is the weirdest thing I'm about to tell you. I find myself when I have a project that I have to do for you guys, I'll be like on the massage table getting a massage, and I'll be sitting there using my resting brain to work out the steps and how the whole thing's going to go together, because that's the thing about it. It's a puzzle. It's a puzzle on how, yep, to make something, how to construct something flat like that with flat stitching and have it come out and be something useful. And I've, mm-hmm, been figuring that out since I first started seeing in the hoop designs, you know, how does this work? How does this happen? And so, you know, the designing, whatever design is part of it is fine. It's fun. I don't mind doing, I like doing that, but figure the puzzle for me is how it goes together.
Yeah.
And so and then having to come up with my own, that's even, you know, more fascinating. And like I said, it's kind of a shower massage, sitting there just letting the brain percolate over things for, mm-hmm, me. I really enjoy freestanding lace.
Oh, I know.
It's so fascinating, cool, to me how it works and how it goes together. the things that people can do with it. It's just, it's amazing. It's so cool. I do some pretty simple freestanding lace stuff, but seeing what some people are capable of doing with that technique, just amazing. And yeah, love it. Definitely.
Like, you can create like a notion and a fat, like through, like with your, like the threads. It's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that it, you can take it, you can take a piece of sort of fabric stabilizer and embroider something on it. And then you can make the stabilizer go away and the embroidery stays. And it's, you know, just thread, but it's sticking together. It's so cool to me. I love that. So that's kind of one of my favorite techniques to do. And I like to make, you know, masks and cat ears and things. I like Urban Threads. Oh, yeah. They have cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, favorite thing that you've ever embroidered? Everybody's thinking.
I have two. One was for hand embroidery, and someone actually made me one of these, and then I made one for someone else, taking a very simple picture of a pet and creating a line art around it, and then just doing like really simple hand embroidery. I know you can do the same thing with machine embroidery as well, but like, so sweet. I did one for our coworker Jill of her cat, and I loved it. I loved it. And I think for machine embroidery, I definitely made some more complicated things than this project, but one of my favorites and one of the things that I do really like to do with machine embroidery is revamp like ready to wear items.
Yes.
And for the magazine one time, I put it was the Mystic Vibes collection, and it was a large scale shape on the back of a jean jacket I had. And I think I partially love it because my daughter has that jacket now and she wears it all the time. And
I remember that jacket. It was, I remember that project in the magazine. It was so cute.
Yeah.
It was so simple. But you know, here was the thing too. I think I like doing machine embroidery on ready to wear because there's something about making something from scratch and and then embroidering on it and potentially messing it up by either having something go wrong or choosing the not right color combination for your embroidery. Cause it can be hard to visualize how things are all going to go together. I think that's a problem area for me too, but ready to wear, I feel much less invested. So if it goes great, yay. If not, it's okay. But at any rate, I do love that jacket.
Mm-hmm. It's a great jacket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think my favorite thing I've embroidered.
Do you want me to go so you have time to think about it?
Yeah. Why don't you go? While I think.
I have to say, I think my favorite thing that I've done is the leaf overalls that I did
I was thinking that for you. I was like, that's my favorite thing you've embroidered.
That was for...
Was that for the fall issue?
Yeah, it was for fall, was it 2022? Just now? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was fall 2022, and it was, they were kind of this orangish, dusty orange pumpkin-y kind of linen overalls, and they had these leaves going down the seam of one leg. These great decorative leaves that I got from, I can't remember, it was either Urban Threads or embroidery online. And then there was a matching, it was a set. So there was a matching sunflower that I put on one of the pockets on the opposite side of where the leaves were. And I just thought they were so cute. I love them. The color combination came out really good. They look fantastic, and I cannot wear them because they are not in my size. They were in the size for the model who needed to wear them, and my niece refuses to wear orange, so I can't give them to her.
So
they're here. They're in my sewing room with me, and I don't know what to do with them because I love them, but I can't wear them. So that's my mystery, is if I'm going to finally part with them and let them go to the thrift shop to somebody who might love them, or if I'm going to hoard them forever because they're so beautiful.
You should like post them on like Instagram and like sell them or something. Totally. Yeah.
Do like a story.
Yeah, sale. Do like a store and then like measure them like the hip or whatever. And so because someone might want, because they are
totally
so cute.
They're amazing.
They're so cute.
That is a good idea. I may do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just reminded me because I was going through my closet and stuff, I'm going to like hold like an Instagram like yard sale, raise diaper money because mm-hmm. I have just like a lot of stuff. It's just not my style anymore. It doesn't fit me anymore. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want it to go to a thrift shop. I was like, I'm sure like someone would, you know, want, you know, these pieces, and a lot of them have been in the magazine and, you know, worn mm-hmm. or by me a lot. And just, I don't know, it's, they're just really special. And so, mm-hmm. yeah. So,
yeah, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. What's your, yeah, so that's a favorite thing you have. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. I think still, I did love, I haven't done anything with it though. I think I still need to frame it, but it was, I took a picture from my wedding and I made that an embroidery design. Yes. Like, it's just so cool. I need to just frame it because there's nothing I can mm-hmm. sew into it because it's right. so densely stitched. So I just need to frame it. But yeah, but I'm trying to think, at least there was something I made in an up, it's coming up in CME summer, and it's like a kid's hooded towel, and it was like kind of the first thing that I made for like my future son, and it's just like really cute. It's like a kid's little hooded beach towel and has like an embroidered little fishy on it. It's just like really cute. So anyways, so that was really cute.
You know, I think that machine embroidery projects for kids is actually like, I think that's pretty darn fun because you can like personalize things or like mm-hmm. have little inside jokes. Like, I really need to get an embroidery machine and like a pizza slice design for my youngest kid. Yeah. And like, you know, like I there's still time for that. They might still wear some like mama maids, who knows. Mm-hmm. But I feel like for kids,
yeah,
it's actually like I can yeah. see the appeal.
Because yeah, the machines sure. come preloaded with so many children's designs, and they're yes. so cute. Like,
totally.
And you can find like the cutest designs for children on mm-hmm. on there as well. That was like, oh yeah, one of my projects, I forgot I made that. It was for one of Julian's, at his last job, one of his coworkers, I think it was their sister, was a pediatrician, and I embroidered all these fun kids characters on their like doctor's jacket, so the kids would have something like fun to look at, you know, when the doctor comes cute. Into the room. It's not just like mm-hmm. a stark, you know, like a white coat. There's like, and I, so I embroidered all these fun characters with balloons on it. So I remember that was a really special project. That just reminded me
that's
of that.
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's like, I always think it's like a color printer. I always think of yes. this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then when I started embroidering it, it's not always just, I look at the embroidery design, I'm, oh, I love those colors, but that doesn't matter. You have to have the matching thread.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And let me tell you, exactly. yeah. Sometimes I've also done some digitizing for the magazine, and the vintage Christmas ornaments. I spent so much money on
thread
trying to match the colors that the artist had come up mm-hmm. with for that. That was tough. That was really tough. And so now I've got a large collection of great colors, but yeah, it was a day, it's a sewing machine store. And they have mm-hmm. large collections of thread. And so I spent nice. my embroidery threads. So I spent a bunch of time there picking out the closest colors I could find. Well, let's move on to tips and tricks. Is there anything that you have learned about machine embroidery or hand embroidery for that matter that you would like to share with the world? Anything that just is some great thing for people to know if they're going to be doing it?
Hmm.
Well, I can start.
Let's have the experts start.
And if you have have any questions for me, you guys, just jump in. So first of all, if you are resizing a design, do not resize it past like 10% smaller, because I have done that and it makes the stitches too small, and then they stitch too close together, they get too tight, and then your thread breaks a billion times, and it's terrible and not fun, and it does not come out looking well. Let's see, what else do I have? There was something else in my head a second ago, and now I've lost it. Mm-hmm. If you're having a lot of trouble with like thread nesting, check your bobbin, make sure it's wound correctly and threaded correctly. You can also change your needle, because that can cause like some burrs.
Oh, yeah.
And can cause your thread to break. If you're going to use metallic thread, run it through a piece of styrofoam popcorn, just to put it on a regular needle, run it through the popcorn, put the popcorn right near wherever your spool is. And if you can do your spool vertical, if your machine lets you, do that. Because one of the reasons that that metallic threads break as often as they do is because they're technically made of plastic. And if they twist too much, you get a lot of tension and they snap. So if you run it vertical, you get less twisting. And if you run it through the styrofoam, just wedge it up against where the thread goes into the machine the first time. That can also help untwist it as it goes through the machine, and you don't get as much breakage. I swear it works. It sounds so weird.
Wait, did you say like popcorn, like a kernel of popcorn?
Packing popcorn, packing peanut.
Oh my God.
Little piece of styrofoam, or just a little piece of styrofoam.
I think you need a snack, Meg.
Oh, I'm sitting here being like, oh, like you can just like thread. I mean, up, I said, like,
put it through the popcorn.
I mean, like you could. There's a reason that they're called the same thing. I would recommend it not be buttered.
Yeah,
I am just sitting here visualizing like a popcorn, like threaded through, like a, what do you put on your Christmas tree, like the threaded popcorn?
Yes,
like, so, yeah. Island.
Well, it is. It's very much like that. It's just that you want to do it with a thing that's not edible, ideally. But let's see.
You know, I tried to embroider with metallic thread many times. I don't think I ever did it successfully.
It is tough. It is very tricky. There's a whole bunch of tips for that. Slow down your machine and stitch real slow, because the faster the needle's going, the faster, the more friction it creates, and that weakens the plastic. Sometimes you can actually combat that by putting the thread in the freezer for like 15 minutes before you start embroidering it. Get the thread actually cool.
Interesting.
That's one of those random little tips. I never use metallic thread in the bobbin if I can avoid it. Even if I'm doing freestanding lace, I usually make the reverse side just a matching color, you know, a gray if I'm working with silver or let's see.
You can get a specific needle for metallic thread. Invest if you are using that. It has the bigger eye, I believe.
It has a big eye and like a, I don't know, there's something about the scarf, which is the dent in the back, that is designed to keep friction down on metallic. And so definitely use that if you're embroidering with metallic thread. And let me tell you, the $5 you'll spend on a pack of metallic needles is definitely worth the lack of really huge annoying things. I'm sorry, that made no sense. You're going to be so much less annoyed. It's worth it. You're paying $5 to be less annoyed when your thread breaks a billion times, is what I'm trying to say very badly. So,
you know, I think with machine embroidery, I think I had to learn about it a lot before I actually did it working with the magazine. And I think
I think all the special tools and stabilizers and everything can be a bit intimidating.
Yeah.
And I mean, and expensive. Yes. So I think for me, it was really important to just kind of get a baseline of knowledge, but then just not be afraid to get in there and mess up, make decisions on your own. Cause you do, you kind of have to learn as you go and learn for yourself. And maybe even learn your machine, like what
definitely
works for your machine and what doesn't.
Every machine is different.
Yeah. And it's, so it's kind of like by the nature of it, a little bit of trial and error.
Definitely.
And yeah, I think that's just part of it.
And I think that's true too for hand embroidery, just to bring it around that, you know, it's a lot of it is learning that muscle memory. And that's why I almost never do stuff that's not cross stitch, because my cross stitch muscle memory is so strong that I have trouble doing it if I'm don't have those guiding points.
You don't have to think
exactly
about it,
and so
which is great.
So embroidery is awesome, and it can make it can really add a lot to your Mie-Maids. I have a purse that I put it's like a mandala, half a mandala. And I love it. It's so pretty.
And it's a great way to like make money with your sewing, like just offering
like
monograms on things, just like a running, you know, like a local, you know, kind of business, just putting embroidery on things, like personalizing things.
Quick
and
gifts.
Exactly. It's a great way. It's just so fun. Yeah, so with kind of the new team coming on to the Creative Machine embroidery magazine, we have Kimberly Payne, who does the editorial coordination, and Sadie Metter, who does content creation. Like, both within, like, as soon as they started working with the magazine, both got embroidery machines. They're like reading about, like, they're like, this is just so cool, and it's just, it's experimenting and doing stuff with it, like learning, and it's such an amazing machine.
It really is.
Yeah, it's just so funny.
I mean, technology machines. It's an amazing piece of technology.
Yeah, it's just so funny. It's like, eventually, if you're gonna like even just, you know, look at embroidery, like, be prepared to get a machine, because like they're very cool.
Yeah.
If you're gonna kind of engage with that content, because it's very cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Shall we take a quick break and then come back with our sew inspo?
Let's do.
Yeah, let's do it.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk sew inspo. I love this portion of the show, and I think Mine might be about embroidery.
I'm interested to hear what you both have to say. Anybody want to kick us off?
I'll kick us off. I didn't really have anything coming in, but I want to find that little pincushion and finish it. I've already done the embroidery. All it is like four seams and some stuffing. I mean, there's no reason for me not to do it. And I've been in a kind of a sewing slump. So I think that it would be a really great way to just get me to do something, you know, a small sewing project that'll take me like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'll have accomplished something and maybe I can move on to accomplishing something else.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm sewing some maternity projects this week for work. And so they're just going to be so fun. I'm sewing like a sleep sack and I'm, you know, hacking a pair of regular jeans to make them maternity. So I'm just going to be working on some like baby projects and we're putting together the nursery. So kind of I realized I need a crib sheet. So and I was looking online and like $60 for one crib sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm just going to measure my mattress, my crib mattress and make one.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
I'll be doing.
That sounds amazing. I don't really have anything new for this week, but I will say that after our fashion episode last time, I was really inspired by the denim mixing trend. So I went on a little bit of a denim vest bender. I kind of hate that word, but there's really no other word to describe what was happening. And I made a bunch of pieced denim vests for my business side. And like, I think a part of me was like, I don't know if I can do this and have it be cool and not like too crunchy, because I mean there's some things that I do for my business that feel crunchy. I mean I'm always flirting that line. Y'all know how I roll.
Yeah.
Is it too crunchy? I don't know, but I think what I made was actually pretty cool, and it was totally because of that episode. I had the idea. The denim was literally sitting in a pile. Then we talked about that trend, and I probably started it right after the show, as I do sometimes. So that was definitely a pretty quick like episode to finished item cycle for me.
Awesome.
It was great.
Very nice. Cool. Nice. A denim vest bender.
I mean, I've been kind of on a vest bender for a while, and I think I still have a few more ideas in my mind, but I think I might move on and save them for the fall. But vests are kind of awesome. I love making vests now. They're quick. It's like the perfect warm layer, and there's so many things you can do with them. So many different styles.
I don't know. I've never been comfortable wearing vests, but maybe I just haven't met the right one yet.
Like even like outdoorsy vests, like fleece vests or anything like that. See, I love that. Like that's what I wear in my sewing room most of the time. I keep my arms free, but my core kind of warm. And the other thing, just side note, it made me like my older makes again.
Oh.
Because I was like, ooh, what will this vest, will it go with this tunic I made 4 years ago? And like, so I was kind of having fun, like, pairing it with different things. I just had underestimated that.
Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. There's my plug for vests.
I don't know.
I think just my arms specifically get cold. So I like vests for fashion, but I rarely wear them like in terms of like I'm cold, I'm gonna put on a vest. It's usually like a fashion layer.
Well there's that too. If you need a crunchy denim vest, Meg, for fashion.
I know. I love them for fashion.
Crunchy fashion.
Yeah.
Crunchy
I know. Fashion. Yeah. I like them. Nice. I was like, I just love vests with sleeves.
Yes. I love vests with sleeves too.
That is so funny.
Oh, gosh. Well, on that note.
On that note, which I'm making a note of in case we get around to making merch sometime soon, because that sounds hysterical. Yes. So thank you, everybody. This was an amazing conversation. I hope that people learned a little bit from it. And maybe that sounds patronizing. I don't know. I didn't mean it to. I don't think that machine embroidery is as well known amongst, well, it's a niche. Mm-hmm. It's more of a niche than sewing. So,
and it can seem really intimidating 100%. Too. Yeah. So I feel like if this inspires people to check it out, heck, I'm inspired to maybe I need to get a machine again and have some fun. Finally make some projects for my kids.
So, well, you're always welcome to borrow mine if you want to. It's a little bit of a drive, but we can make it work.
Oh, embroidery party.
Love it.
Embroidery party.
Ooh.
Sip and stitch.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, everybody. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you. And until next time, let's sew.
Here We Sew Again is produced by Amanda Carestio, Meg Healy, and me, Kate Zeinard. Find us on Instagram at Here We Sew Again Pod, or email us at herewesewagainpod@gmail.com. Our show website is shows.acast.com/here-we-sew-again. Thanks for listening, and now it's sew time.